Cheater on the Rood with Lee Papa and Jeff Chrysler, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Progressive Radio Network.
Good evening. This is Lee Papa, author of the blog The Rood Pundit, coming to you live from New York City at the fine studios at Progressive Radio Network for Cheater and the Rood. And back in the studio after 2 weeks of literally phoning it in. Literally phoning it in. You know what that means, Drew?
You called it in.
I called in, yes.
You didn't even bother to show up.
I did not, but I probably had a good reason. And joining me in the studio is Drew Overton, who's been here before. You might remember him as the guy that's from Tennessee.
That's correct.
Yes, it is. And so Drew's hanging out here with us. And then I believe that all the way across the Atlantic Ocean,
the pond,
as they say, is the cheater, Jeff Chrysler, who is actually live by the magic of Skype. Jeff, are you there?
I am here.
Oh,
hello.
My God, after 2 weeks? Holy shit, what? You know what? I got to tell you, I'm a little hard right now just hearing your voice.
Good. I'm glad I can still excite you. I was worried you're getting, like, what is it? The Drew and the Rood show? That doesn't have any sort of, like, sexy appeal to it. Like, come on.
I don't know. Drew's looking pretty good.
Thank you so much.
Drew's got a great face for radio, as they say. Now, listen, I'm excited to be back with you live. I am excited that I've missed 2 weeks of American political chaos and only heard snippets of it. It's nice to be closer to Greece, where it might be a little slightly more fucked up than America. And I'm glad to be able to join you. And I've also brought a guest along with me into my Edinburgh studio.
Oh, are you in Edinburgh? I said England, and I apologize for that. So you are not in England. You're in the
United
UK.
Kingdom.
You're in the UK, yes.
They'll just blow up a train station because you said that. It's no big deal. By the way, I should point out it's 1 a.m. here, and there's still sunlight in the sky.
Wow.
It's not fully light, but we're so far north, it's incredible, and this is why there's so much drinking.
I love Scotland for that. Scotland in the summertime, I can remember being in Glasgow and the sun being up at like 3 a.m. No, actually, I was in Inverness, even further north. Sun coming up at like, staying up until like 3 a.m. and then disappearing for like an hour. And
we're drinking scotch. What are we drinking? I'll introduce Claire, but let me first ask Claire, what are we drinking? What's this?
I'd love to say that we're drinking Balvenie or Oban or something like that, but it's just a cheap blend.
We're drinking Budweiser.
Yeah. No, we're drinking a blended whiskey.
Claire sounds drunk.
I don't sound dry. No, I'm tipsy, but the other slightly fucked up thing is that although I'm in Scotland, I'm actually from Ireland, if we're talking about fucked up countries in Europe. So
this is Claire Daly. Claire Daly, when I first came to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in 2007, was kind enough to house me. We've luckily remained friends.
Wow. And did she just pick your name randomly out of a hat? Is that how she got to house you?
No, she just had the cheapest offer around. So
Nice.
We haggled a bit, and there was nobody better. And Jeff was a refreshing change from all the one-woman shows about loneliness and despair. Right.
And vaginas.
I'm a
one-man
show about loneliness.
And vaginas. They were shows about vaginas. Let's not skimp on the vagina.
Vaginas are successful if you keep it above the waist. That's the problem.
Mm. Really? Tit shows?
Yeah.
And we have no...
maybe above the neck. Yeah.
Oh, brains? Who wants to spend time on that?
Well, it explains why Jeff took the room.
I would like Claire to tell us what she just told me before we went on air about the potential next Prime Minister of Ireland, your home country.
No, it's not Prime Minister. It's a very important distinction. In Ireland, we have what's called a tea shock, which is nothing to do with shocking tea. It's just the Gaelic for Prime Minister, who is the legislative leader, which is very hard to say when you've had a few whiskeys at the
time. Wait. You guys just, you call him your Taoiseach?
Taoiseach.
I know it's really, to you, it sounds like a new sexual thing. You could.
I saw that at Babeland.
Yeah.
It's
I think if you're
nothing to do with teabagging.
I was thinking attack an apparatus to your nipples, and you get a little Taoiseach there.
Yeah. An electric teabag.
No, that's the Prime Minister. But the interesting thing is that we have also a president, which is. Not like your president. It's more a figurehead kind of character.
Sort of a queen.
And yeah, I kind of like the queen. But
more like our president, too.
No, but this potential queen equivalent in Ireland is a brilliant Joycean scholar. He is also a great campaigner for human rights in Ireland, and he's also... as gay as Christmas, as we say in this part of the world. And he's a very strong candidate for the presidency. So
wow.
He's really
going to fuck up Ireland.
David Norris gets
in
Irish presidency.
He's going to fuck up Ireland in ways. He's going to come in there all innocent and naive, thinking he can actually change things. And he will have his soul crushed and ground into a fine powder that people can then put in their scotches and drink away.
So you're saying it's less about him being openly gay than it is about him being a scholar, because we've seen how well that works for us.
Right, exactly. Scholar, a Joycean scholar, too. Drew, did you want to say?
After participating in the parade this past weekend...
That would be the Gay Pride Parade.
Gay Pride Parade.
We had one of those over here in Scotland and in Ireland.
That was just drunk people walking.
I was going to say, were there like five drunks in the street and...
called it a parade.
Yes.
Go on, Drew.
Lots of buggering.
Seeing the way this parade was organized and how well it was run, I think that you have to give kudos to the new.
Just because he can pick out nice drapes for his office, and maybe visit the tea jock or whatever we're talking about.
Well, he's a figurehead.
Yes, he's a figurehead. And he gives figurative
so
and
he really just
head.
Needs
don't
nice
do
drink.
It.
Oh, ow.
Oh, gosh.
Can't
I'm
believe
blushing.
You went that path.
I know. I'm sorry. You know,
time,
you know what? Yeah. I'm. Did you tell her anything about me? Or
I did. I told her enough that she should not be shocked. But I think the greatness of the rude sometimes overwhelms people in a way that, like, Michelle Bachmann's first fake orgasm overwhelmed someone.
Wow. Overwhelmed her closeted gay husband?
Yeah. By the way, I am really pleased and frightened to report that throughout the United Kingdom, I've been performing in Leeds, London, and tonight in Edinburgh, many people know who Michelle Bachmann is. That should send shivers down the spine.
That's really quite frightening, isn't it?
That is, because like I couldn't name two UK politicians to save my life at this point. Really, Drew, put a gun on me.
I got a gun.
Okay, I'm thinking now, and I'm gonna go with.
There's gonna be a Smith.
A Ricky Gervais. He's a politician, right?
Yeah, he is. He plays a politician on that show with Steve Carell.
All right, good. I'm. That's all I got.
That's it.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, this is, it probably bears a longer conversation, a report in when I return, but, you know, America, for all its flaws, and as Claire was putting to me earlier, the potential demise, it's still, you know, we're still the crazy ones with the guns. We're still very much armed and dangerous and have colorful leaders.
Can I ask Claire a question?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Claire went Swedish on us.
Sorry, that was
a
Coen Brothers quote in case it wasn't obvious.
Claire, so are you afraid of the United States?
No. I'm afraid for the United States, if that makes sense.
Explain a little bit of that. Drew's from Tennessee.
Like,
Drew's from Tennessee. They have guns.
We do, yeah.
Pardon?
Drew's from Tennessee, where they have a lot of guns.
Everybody has a gun.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes. So,
don't they eat their young in Tennessee?
That's a myth.
Oh, okay.
They rape their young in Tennessee. They
we marry our young in Tennessee.
What's the difference?
Well, it's a marriage.
It's a difference of kind of eating. But anyway, continue. I know. I've got the...
God.
I know. It's just... You know
the line. There just is no line.
No, I've just... It's hot out. It's hot here. Is it hot where you are? Is it hot in where are you? You're in...
Well, in logical temperatures, it's about 12 degrees. So can you explain that in... Can you translate that into...
12 kind degrees of, is you multiply times 9/5 and add 32, so it's like 20... It's like... 68,
60-ish, 68, 67. Okay, so, keep your Celsius to yourself.
I'm wearing a woolly jumper, so that's what you have to know.
Wow. I'd
like to see pictures.
Of a woolly jumper.
Of a woolly jumper.
Yes. I think I killed a woolly jumper yesterday.
I know I did.
Maybe so, you ate it in Tennessee, but no.
after marrying it.
So tell us about
for the United States. I love the United States. I had some of the best times of my life in the United States, but I realized it wasn't real United States. It was New York and it was San Francisco. So I've subsequently been informed that that's not representative of the United States.
Not by me. I think it is.
All right.
Yeah,
but anyway.
Yeah.
But no. Do you not think it's a bit of kind of last days of the Roman Empire?
Oh, yeah. No, I think we're fucked. I think right now we need to accept the fact that right now the United States exists solely for the profit of large corporations and banks. And
about 10,000 bankers.
Yeah. And that really we have no other purpose right now because we've certainly, you know, given up on anything about, you know, progressing having a progressive ideology that says that the people should advance in their rights and in their freedoms. And I think that's been shoved away. That's been drowned in a bathtub.
Well, you know, yes, but what's great is like shows like this, you know, that are airing that. I mean,
you know what?
This kind of stuff in BBC land, you know.
Yeah, but you know, our five listeners right now are probably very happy and agreeing with us. 63. We have 63 people. Those, you know what? Half of those are shut-ins that, you know, that don't even know how to change the internet site.
Putting aside how great this show is, one thing I tried to, you're talking about progressive ideas, but even if you want to have genuine conservative ideas, what frustrates me explaining to people is that even the conservatives, they seem intent on destroying the country rather than moving it forward, because I've tried to explain to her before I went on air that the Republicans are ostensibly the party of business. Yet the fact that they're opposed to investment in infrastructure and education and, you know, high-speed rails, things that actually would help the business of America, is just mind-boggling. And people around the world, they can't understand that. And to me, that is the surest sign of our demise. It's not that maybe, you know, you can make arguments on the right that you shouldn't put, you know, funding welfare ahead of other things, but the fact that they don't fund things that would help us as a functioning unit.
Because it's now whatever they need, should the infrastructure fail, should it fall apart, they can just go overseas and pay less for if they need to actually produce something, or it's just banking where, you know, who the fuck knows how that's working anymore. I was thinking about, I was reading about Canada and how Canada, because of the banking regulations there, avoided a lot of the crises in the United States. Now, Canadian bankers, during the time when everybody was fat and making tons of cash, didn't benefit as much, but they also didn't get fucked. They didn't have a Lehman Brothers kind of crisis in their banking system. And so now they've survived in a way that without a bailout, with a smaller bailout. They had a small bailout, but not as big. But they were rational about it. And I think that Claire, in this kind of fin de siècle thing you're talking about, that we are so afraid of anything that impinges on this sort of this nebulous notion of individuality that people have grasped onto that denies any sense of community, that we've forgotten the united in the United States of America.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And one thing that's had great resonance over here is I do a routine about how in Arizona, after the shooting in January, they opposed, there's a poll and the majority of Arizona citizens oppose gun control. And I feel like it's because we use the word control in it. And, you know, I won't do the bit, but like the point is, people are just like have this knee-jerk reaction to anything that is either somehow infringes on the individual, but they don't take the next step to see that it helps the community.
Let me ask Drew a question. In Tennessee, mm-hmm. since we're you're going to be you know the expert in all things Southern in Tennessee. Tennessee is probably what Claire is one of the places that Claire is probably referring to when she says that New York and San Francisco aren't real America, but Tennessee, sure. by gum, that's real America.
That's real America.
So, in real America, mm-hmm. how do they feel about things like efforts to improve infrastructure? How do they feel about any kind of anything that taxes the rich or anything like that? Do you know anything about how?
Yeah, well, it's interesting, and I think we spoke one time before about this, that people there, and I bring this because Jeff just mentioned Arizona and the gun control, is that you have people in middle America that won't, they may agree with improving infrastructure, they may agree with taxes on the rich, but if you mess with their guns, they're voting solely on are you going to mess with their guns, and the rest of it doesn't matter.
Over abortion?
Over abortion.
Gay
abortion's
rights?
Right there. But again, we had the issue in Tennessee where they, you know, were outlawing the word.
Gay, you mean.
Yes. That you were, if you were under the age of 14, you couldn't hear it.
In school. Right.
Claire's given a shocked look on her face. I'll let you continue before we explain.
I can't talk anymore because my jaw dropped.
Yeah. Wow. You should paste that.
And I think this
is one
of the problems that you see.
Well, Ireland's totally gay. But
across the board is that people are so distracted by the silliest things and not focused on what they can do.
Right.
And they've lost interest. And they've gotten distracted by these other issues, the use of the word gay, you know, homosexual,
well, I think
any of this stuff.
I think that's a great success of the right, is that, you know, Obama made a mistake. Remember in the campaign he once said people cling to their guns and religion? I don't think that's what happened. I think that the right has managed to hold up guns and religion and gay marriage and even abortion as these shiny trinkets to distract people
Absolutely.
From the real issues.
Right.
Absolutely.
And, right. Like in Indiana, for instance, you know, the whole thing about defunding Planned Parenthood. Now, a judge came in and restored the funding to Planned Parenthood in Indiana. But prior to that, Indiana has 28 Planned Parenthood clinics. Abortions are performed at 3 of them. 2 of them are in Indianapolis. One is in, I think one's in Gary. And otherwise, Planned Parenthood, the other 25 clinics, do not perform abortions. So what they were defunding for the vast majority of the population that was served by Planned Parenthood was pap smears, birth control, which of course we know they oppose because, you know, that means that... sperm
Let
gets
people
wasted.
Pay money to the church.
Yes.
All that wasted sperm.
So much wasted sperm.
So much.
So anyway, do you want to explain the gay thing about Tennessee?
To Claire?
Yes, to Claire.
Well, I mean, I don't know that there's much to explain except that, I mean, you correct me if I'm wrong, but the state of Tennessee made it so that you can't say
teachers
the word gay
cannot.
In the classroom.
Teachers
like
cannot use the word, whether it's in literature,
gay, homosexual,
in any reference,
bone smoker,
right. Because this will apparently cause you to
chode swallower.
I mean, it's a perfect example of
clam diver.
Just, clam diver.
Yeah,
I don't think they outlawed that one.
They didn't outlaw clam diver.
I don't
diver?
Think they know what that
okay.
means.
Also, they have a shopping list of naughty words that could be
only as relates to homosexuality.
Only as relates to homosexuality.
Oh, right. So if they're reading Shakespeare or early English or literature or something
well,
like that,
what
that
was
be
that,
an
it, it will
what
be redacted.
TV show that will have a gay old time? What was that TV show? You know, the jingle?
We'll have a gay old time.
You know what I'm talking about, right? There's something out there.
What was it?
Anyway.
The Flintstones. The Flintstones had a gay old time.
And that's correct. And so
yes.
Now the Flintstones will no longer be broadcast in the state of Tennessee.
That's right. The Flintstones had a gay old time because... And, you know, that's because of all the times that Fred just kept fucking Barney. While Dino...
I've actually been on some internet websites where that does happen.
Dino's there.
That's because, you know, it's acceptable because they show a deference to fossil fuels in the Flintstones. Kaboom! Bam! Zing! All right.
Wow.
So, I don't have my normal rim shot machine with me. Do we have? Let's get a rim shot machine for next week.
We don't have a rim shot machine.
We're going to get one.
You want? Do you want a rim shot? Babe, you want a rim shot machine? You will have a rim shot machine. Jason, we need a rim shot machine. All right, we got Jason. Jason just said, not a problem. We will have a rim shot machine.
Nice.
Actually, I think we'll just have a button on the computer that's a rim shot sound.
Or you can bring in a snare drum.
I will bring in a small band. I'm actually curious. Like I said, I haven't been paying close attention. What is the big? Every week it seems that there's something. Is there a big item of the week that's happened? I know Bachman has declared and has
debt ceiling, baby. Debt ceiling. All about Obama coming out and telling the GOP to stop being such assholes at his press conference yesterday, and the GOP is refusing to budge off of no tax hikes in any way, not even closing tax loopholes or tax breaks. And so the debt ceiling fight is what's going on. The Senate ended up canceling its July 4th break, so they're coming back on July 5th to continue work. And so it's all debt ceiling and that Kaylee Anthony trial, which I don't really know a damn thing about, but
we're wasting more time on that than we need to, just mentioning
it. Oh, tonight was Glenn Beck's last Fox show.
When? Already or is it about to be?
No, it was tonight at 5.
Oh.
Yeah.
Congratulations, world.
Yes.
Oh, he's not gone.
No. He's going to
make any sort of I saw that he made the speech. I didn't look closely, but as the coherent argument made, this coherent, succinct argument, which is the Democrats' biggest failure about the tax cuts, that, like, if we went back to just Reagan-era tax cuts, we'd be out of this in a second? I mean, or is it just no one, it's not getting through?
If we went back to Clinton-era tax cuts, we'd be out of this in a second. And no, because you know why? First of all, nobody is going to raise taxes on the middle class. Even back to Clinton era rates, that's just not going to happen. And they keep bumping up what rich is, whether it's above 250,000, 500,000. He's trying to make some kind of vague class war. Obama is trying to make some kind of vague class warfare statements that are, you know, let's cut tax breaks for corporate jet owners, which amounts to about $4 billion over, I think, 10 years or something ridiculous like that.
Well, it's like the funding for Planned Parenthood. It's the same type of thing. Like, even if they cut it all, which would be obscene, it saves nothing.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
All right. Sorry to bring it all down.
No, that's okay.
Wow.
No. Hey.
It's a really good day.
Why don't you tell us what Glenn Beck's going to be doing next, Drew? Where is his program going to be?
What is that? Is that the GBTV?
Yeah, what does that stand for?
I don't know, but the first thing that went through my head again reminded me of our weekend together.
Which was gay and bisexual and a little tranny, yeah.
A little furry.
Yes, yes.
So he's competing with Oprah. He and Oprah are going to have their own TV network.
No, he's going to have an online network.
Yeah, that works well for a lot of people.
That you have to pay to watch.
How much do you have to pay?
I don't know. You know, probably.
Are you gonna pay?
No, fuck. I've never paid for a damn thing for him.
All right.
You know, it's interesting. I'm gonna make this succinct. Somebody I was talking to in Leeds yesterday was talking about how Gordon Brown, when he was running Britain, I guess sold off a bunch of gold at the bottom of the market. I just kept wanting to tell him, you should just like tune into the Glenn Beck show. You would have seen to hold on to it for another couple of years. That guy. Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin, as I've explained to people here, are just perfect individual operators in the American system of, like, sensationalism, a touch of fame, and absurdity to get themselves enriched. And essentially, that individualism we talked about before has defeated any sense of social responsibility.
They're grifters, man. They are on the back. Totally. They are on the back of like a wagon, and they are out there selling it. And you know,
snake oil.
It's going to cure you. It's going to put hair on your balls. It's going to make your wife love you more. It's going to do all of that if you just listen to Glenn Beck. If you just try to prevent the caliphate. If you just try to take down Obama. If you go attack the Tides Foundation. If you take on George Soros. If you try to blow up Media Matters, that's all you need, and you'll be more of a man. Wow.
I got hard just listening to that.
But, you know, there's a lot of erections going on here and a lot of gay love, and I appreciate that. I appreciate
that.
I feel
luckily Claire's a tough Irish girl. She can handle it.
I can get hard, too.
Wow. That's a hell of a clit you just admitted to having. So,
good time.
Ooh.
Wow. Metaphorically speaking.
I wish I was in Edinburgh.
I love Edinburgh.
Absolutely.
Edinburgh is a beautiful town.
Yeah. Okay.
What should you tell us?
Nothing.
Is it about the food? Is it about the food? Because it's only Indian food. That's all you can
eat. No, actually, the food, there's some great. There's a place here called the Mussel Inn, which is the best mussels that I've had in the world. It's really good. If you're into mussels and you ever go to Edinburgh, you have to go.
Is this ever going to stop being gay, this whole conversation?
No, they're really good if you put them in your anus. Now, listen. I think we just did our would you rather for the next
one. Oh. Wow. Just Claire, do you have any grifter figures like that? Any con men or women in either the UK or Ireland who get away with it?
In the political Ireland's sense? Buddhism.
But,
yeah.
A large political stage, do they get away with it?
Oh, Biff O'Callaghan, our former... Well, the best one is our former Taoiseach, one of many Taoiseachs,
ago,
Bertie Ahern. I'd like to have him on a plate. Developer Sean Fitzpatrick.
Mm-hmm.
This is great. I feel such freedom because you don't have libel laws in the States. It's brilliant. Or do you?
No. Well, don't libel them. I mean, you can call them motherfuckers, but don't libel them.
Oh, yeah, they're complete assholes. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it'd be good to stuff a few muscles up their assholes, but so long as they didn't enjoy it. Oh, my God, I'm so glad I'm talking in a country where I've only got two right-wing aunts and a left-wing uncle. So
that's good. That must...
They're not tuned in. They're not among your five listeners.
I don't think you need to worry about that. I feel a little bad that I've opened up Claire to a whole new world of possibility, and she'll be soon a muttering mad woman on the street.
That's great. Just talking about muscles and anuses.
By the way, I don't know what my clock is, if it's not right or not, but we should point out, like, Claire's saying these things about how great it is she can say this. I mean, we're in... the other great Western country. And, you know, as much as we are here giving America shit and talking about the demise, and as much as I do that in my acts around the world, like, we also have to admit, like, in many ways, we are still a world leader in freedoms. And my fear is that because of all this other shit we're talking about, we're going to end up losing that.
Cutting back on freedoms has got to be the next thing. That once they collapse the economy by not raising the debt ceiling, you know.
But they're already doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So should I hold on to the UK pounds that I'm making until after the collapse? Because then
yes.
I'll get the dollar will be less and I'll get better rate.
Yes, you should. Yes.
Yeah.
So do you have a would you rather?
I would you rather have muscles from the Mussel Inn put inside your bottom, or be Michelle Bachmann's history teacher?
Oh, I'm going to go with muscles up my bottom, Drew.
Well, the way that it's been described so beautifully tonight, I'm going to go with the muscles as well.
Yeah, as long as it's not a spicy broth that it's in, I think we're good.
Oh, no, they're very spicy. They got a spicy
broth. Oh, hey. No, you didn't say anything about that. No.
I thought they were just steamed.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I'm going to have to go with the history teacher then. Yeah. I don't want spicy muscles in my bum.
All right.
They do ones with nice white wine sauce.
You see, that I can handle. Nice butter sauce that makes them glide in really nice and easily. That would be wonderful. Put as many muscles as you can fit in my bum at that point.
By the way, this is either the gayest or the most culinary show we've ever had, with a tea pack on a plate.
They're
and
just hand in hand, I think.
Yes.
Tea shock.
Hey, man, when are you back?
I get back appropriately enough on July 4th, and we will be back in the studio. I don't think we can top this foursome, but we will try.
And do you have any other dates in the, where you're?
I'm in. Yeah, if anybody, I'm in Edinburgh all this week at the Stand. If anyone is listening besides Claire and I in Edinburgh.
Oh, there's, you know what, I think Edinburgh is actually the largest contingent of fans we have, and that probably just means
tonight.
You and Claire. So, all right, man. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you, and thanks a lot, Claire, for joining us. And
my pleasure.
And teaching us all about a T-Jack or whatever, T-Shock?
T-Shock.
T-Shock. T-Shock. Teaching us all about a T-Shock, and I'll be, you know, hitting Babeland here to see if I can find one.
Absolutely.
Yes. And that's a sex toys shop, just to let you know, Claire. And,
good to hear from you, Drew and Lee. And Lee, you sign us out of here.
All right. You have been listening to Cheater and the Rude with Jeff Chrysler live from the UK. Drew Overton in the studio. This is Lee Papa. And you can catch me at the Rude Pundit blog, rudepundit.blogspot.com. You can get on the Twitter at Rude Pundit or at Jeff Chrysler. And we'll see you next week on Progressive Radio Network.